Markets get their first crack at the election results. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A more conservative Congress sees itself more in line with the interests of businesses and financial markets. That is the thesis, anyway. In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow and the S&P 500 were up in the 2 to 3/10% range. And despite an economy that has been officially growing and unemployment falling, 2 out of 5 voters said the economy was a top concern for them in exit polling. 4 in 10 voters say things have not improved much for them over the last 2 years, while about a quarter said it's gotten worse. Jim Dunnigan is Chief Investment Officer at PNC Wealth Management.
There's no doubt that the economy is improving. Jobs are picking up. Consumer confidence levels are up, although it's interesting to see that in some of the exit polls that it doesn't show up necessarily on a one-on-one basis. So I think that's probably some messaging and just how voters feel about the durability of this recovery. The more they can be convinced that it's in place and that the government is helping in that, then they'll start to feel better about the economy.
And what about prospects for legislation of interest to businesses, workers, and market players with Republicans in control of the U.S. Senate? Stan Collender is a former staffer for both the House and Senate Budget Committees who blogs at The Budget Guy. Stan, thanks for joining us on this morning after.
It is a pleasure as always, David.
We've ended up with the biggest majority in the House since, I believe, the Harry Truman administration. Slim majority, but a majority in the Senate for Republicans. Can work get done, you think, in Washington in this new environment?
The answer is probably not. Republicans don't have a veto-proof majority. They don't have 2/3 vote in either House. And as a result, House and Senate may be doing a lot of things that would set up issues for the president to veto just so they have the issues, but that doesn't mean that legislation gets enacted.
So on a key sweeping issue facing the country, tax reform, nothing's going to get done in 2 years, you think?
I don't think so. I've been telling clients for 2 years that I don't see tax reform until 2019 at the earliest. I do think that you'll have hearings in both houses. I think one or both houses may actually pass legislation. But will they be able to compromise with the White House? I don't think so. And so I think you're going to see a lot of smoke but not a lot of fire on that issue.
Here's one, though. Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. Maybe that the Republicans in Congress and the presidents find actual common ground on pieces of that.
Some of the free trade agreements that the president couldn't get past Democrats in the Senate, he may very well get a lot of support from Republicans in the new Senate. Substantive agreement doesn't necessarily mean political agreement, and there's a long way to go to get there.
Stan Collender also writes for Forbes and is executive VP at Corvus MSL Group. Stan, thank you.
It is a pleasure.
Today, the election result. Friday, the results from the government survey of households and payrolls. The big monthly employment report for October will tell us how many jobs the economy added. Is it getting easier for unemployed people to find jobs and maybe harder for employers to fill vacant positions? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on what the Friday report can and cannot tell us. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
So the monthly unemployment report has been okay and getting better month to month. September, jobless rate 5.9%. It was 7.2% a year earlier, 9% back in 2011. I mean, this suggests progress.
Here's the problem. The official unemployment rate, that just tells us how many people are actively unemployed. They're looking for work. They actually applied for a job in the last 4 weeks. But there are a lot of people who aren't working and would like to work. They just have given up because they don't think there are any jobs for them right now. You add them back in, plus people that are called underemployed. That's people who want a better paying full-time job but can only find a part-time one. Unemployment's more like 12%.
Now, I'm hearing you. That's a crucial thing to understand. But we also know that some people who are no longer hunting for jobs are doing it because they're done. We call it retirement. Do you think this is finally the wave of retiring boomers that demographers have been signaling?
Some of it is, but actually not most of it. Berkeley economist Jesse Rothstein explained to me who's actually mostly dropped out.
The places where you're seeing big declines in labor force participation are among prime-age workers, and especially among people in their early 20s. And it's hard for me to believe that there's this enormous group of people in their early 20s who have decided that they're never going to work.
Part of what I'm hearing here, Mitchell, is that the official unemployment rate is telling us the job market's getting tighter, easier for job seekers, harder for employers, but that it's not the whole story.
Yeah, and the Federal Reserve doesn't want to stop stimulating the economy and kill the recovery before it's actually helped these hardcore unemployed people. So they're looking at other indicators as well. First is wages. As long as it's easy for employers to just put up a help wanted sign, you know, get 100 applicants, they can keep wages really low, says John Canale at LPL Financial.
I think that's the ultimate indicator to get wage growth back to normal, back to 3.5% to 4% to 4.5% gains that we saw prior to the Great Recession. Then I think you'll be confident that businesses are finding it more and more difficult to fill jobs.
Also, let's see if some of these people I mentioned who've dropped out start jumping back in. You know, if young people and middle-aged people, they start looking for work, get counted again as officially unemployed, that'll actually be a good sign that the economy and conditions for workers are really finally on the mend.
Something to celebrate if it happens. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
And 2 days before that official jobs report, a private sector survey of payrolls finds U.S. companies added 230,000 jobs in October, the most in 4 months. That result, tabulated by the payroll processor ADP, is quite strong given the slowdown in Europe and the strong dollar. Construction jobs rose by 28,000. Factories hired on 15,000 people more. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.